Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here to review the Chicago Bulls victory, 129-116 over the New Orleans Pelicans. Before we do that, be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet, following Goose at Bulls Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Goose, this game was exciting. It had everything. It had I was scared. I was excited. I was mad. I was sad. Everything. This was probably the best Bulls game this year to watch. I mean, for more reasons than one, obviously, too. We came into tonight having some outside hope with watching Lonzo Ball, because I'm huge. I want Lonzo Ball on this team, and I'm sticking by that. But a lot of shit going around, you know, in the headlines right now with him, and a lot of, you know, news surrounding the team. What did you think of this one, bro?
I thought we broke a lot of fucking records. Records. Zach and Kobe set in league-wide records, being the first duo ever to hit 8 three-pointers apiece in a game. Zach ended up with 9 threes in the game, Kobe with 8. That's pretty fucking cool. I mean, I still want Lonzo Ball, and I still think he'd help this team, but just the fact that Zach and Kobe broke some fucking records against Lonzo Ball, who had a great first half, but kind of fell off in the second half. I don't think he had a bucket until about 3 minutes left in the fourth. So, great first half for Lonzo, kind of non-existent, like the Pelicans in general in the second half. I don't know if they were just burned out in the second night of a back-to-back, but for the Bulls, you'll take it.
Yeah, I felt like Ingram was off all night tonight for them. Well, we're just getting into them. Eric Bledsoe was not typical Eric Bledsoe for them either. I mean, like you said, coming off a back-to-back probably didn't help the cause for them. But Lonzo had 19 in the first half. In the first quarter itself, I felt the Bulls did a great job on Zion. It was like he was living outside the paint. And when he was living out there, it wasn't working for him. So it not until the game progressed and he was able to assert his dominance of being the big guy that he is, getting into the paint and, you know, getting, you know, tough buckets there, is really when they started to make their comeback, was when Zion started getting to the paint more. But, you know, the first quarter for the Bulls, Zach hits what, 5 three-pointers in the first quarter? I mean, he was just absolutely unreal. He had 20 points in the first quarter. He finishes tonight with 46. 46 points for Zach LaVine. That's absolutely insane.
I really thought he was going to get 50. His career high is 49. I was really hoping he was going to crack that 5-0 tonight. In the third quarter, it was really feeling like it, but the Bulls pulled so far away that you didn't need it from him. And at the end of the game there, you start slowing it down and just trying to eat the clock. So, no, I mean, the Bulls did what they needed to do, which we've only got to say a couple times this year. So, I don't know what it means for this team coming up here. Does the front office make a push for Alonzo or anybody else to make this team a little bit more competitive? We are right on the verge of that play-in, play-off spot. We were 1.5 out to start the game, a half game out of the play-in. So we should be literally right in the mix right now. What decisions do they make with, you know, about a month left before the trade deadline?
Well, if we want to wait for everybody else's opinion, it's going to be waiting for Zach and Lowry to get healthy and then just keep riding. Wendell and Lowry to get healthy and then keep riding, because, you know, that's what people want to end up doing here. And I'm not trying to insult those guys for not staying healthy. You know, I don't know their bodies. I don't know what's going on with them and how they keep often getting injured. But, I mean, could you imagine Zion running into one of those guys tonight? It would have killed them. They would have been dead.
Come on.
It would have been over. Like, they were straight up. Like, it would have been done, dude. Like, so anyway, I don't know, man. They got to do something if they want to get into the play-in. I know that Zach wants to get into the playoffs. Zach is not a guy who wants to tank. Billy Donovan isn't a coach that wants to go that route either. So,
oh, Billy's got to look at it OKC some nights and go, I left there for this?
Right. I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, they need a Kobe's learning the playmaking role, but if they want to be competitive, they need a playmaker. Sato came in. He had like 7 assists in the first half.
He finishes. He had that 1-3 in the whole game.
Yeah, he had the 1-3. Yeah, he only attempted two shots, but he had 3 points, 8 assists, and 2 boards tonight for Sato. 8 assists off the bench. That's huge. The Bulls actually had a team assist 36 tonight. 36 team assists for the Bulls. They had 35 rebounds. That's it. Wow. 35 rebounds.
So, but the assist was another season high record, right?
Yep.
Setting fucking records.
So, I mean, they were absolutely on fire moving the ball tonight. But yeah, a playmaker would do this team well. And that's why, again, you know, you hear Lonzo's name floating out there. You know, it could be his agent putting shit out there. Like we've said before, Rich Paul putting stuff out there to a destination that Lonzo wants to go to. But then everybody's like, well, if he keeps balling out, man, he's going to command a lot more. It's like, not really, because at the end of the day, he's going to be a restricted free agent. And people don't, you know, people need to talk about that. Like, the Pelicans have a lot of talent on that team. They're going to have to pay big money to. So they need to pick and choose wisely, and it might not be Lonzo if he keeps playing like he is now. He's going to get a big contract, so they might want to get something for him. I don't know if that's a Lowry marketing. I don't know what that looks like, but again, I was just thinking tonight of, you know, him playing next to Zach, that UCLA backcourt. Zach scoring the ball, Lonzo playmaking, the defense looking good, because as good as Kobe White did tonight, he got chewed up on the defensive end. Absolutely chewed up. And that's, you know, for a complete team, you need a good wing defender. You know, and I know Patrick Williams has the potential to be that, but it'd be nice to have another one.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you can't put all that on Kobe either.
I'm not putting it all on Kobe. I'm saying that Kobe.
Denzel Valentine, Zach LaVine, and Kobe White playing 1-3, you're going to get chewed up on the perimeter, and I don't think it's fair to put it all.
I'm not putting it all on Kobe. I'm just saying, man.
We knew when he was drafted that he had short arms, and he might not have been exactly 6'5". It might have been closer to 6'4". And those are all things that we knew and we've accepted. And when he has shooting performances like tonight, who gives a shit how short his arms are, how bad he is on defense? Him and Zach set NBA records. I am not going to rip on Kobe tonight. That is not anything that I'm going to do. I don't care what his plus minus says. I don't care what his OBPM, his DBPM, his BBPM, his VORP, none of that shit. Throw it all out the window. Kobe White and Zach LaVine single-handedly went out there and won us this fucking game tonight, whether either of them played a lick of defense or not. Thad Young had to defend Zion Williamson and Steven Adams most of the night. Props to you, Thad. You are old as shit, and you are tasked with, like, the hardest thing every night. But you touched on it earlier. The beginning of the game, Patrick Williams denied Williamson the ball over and over again in the post. Lob tosses, post-entry passes. Pat did not let Zion touch the ball to start this game, and that was extremely encouraging to see.
I mean, shit, our guy DG, every time Zion got into the paint, was trying to put a body on his ass. I mean, he had 3 blocks. Daniel Gafford had 3 blocks tonight. He actually played – did you see his jumper?
The second jump shot of his career.
Yep.
He got it again, man. It looks like Taj Gibson's jumper. It's really slow and methodical, but if you leave him open, maybe it'll work. I don't know.
If it works, it works, man.
It works. You know, if it goes in, nobody's going to complain.
Hell no. If you're going to fucking sit there and pop a shot from the free throw line, hit it like that. And I said, it was so funny because he chased after it. And I'm like, no, it went. You're good, buddy. Like, you look good coming off your hand. You're straight.
He just wants to destroy the backboard at all times. He's going to start shooting so he can brick and get a putback.
Unfortunately, we didn't get to see the matchup we all really wanted to see tonight either, though. We did not get to see Big Chris against Zion. I was hoping to see those two body types just kind of run into each other and see what happened, but we didn't get to see it. We actually got a Luke Kornet sighting tonight, which is, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Hey, we actually mentioned that. I mean, at least I did on the last pod that I might rather Kornet sometimes situationally over Felicio, and we got to see it. I didn't know that Luke Kornet existed anymore. And
someone put a tweet out that he blended with the court and they couldn't see him.
I mean, but I don't know that we'd be much better, Buzz.
No, I'm definitely not.
We're pretty pasty Midwest boys over here. but no, I mean, Gafford, that was a good point to bring up. probably the first game you could say that he was a positive impact. I don't know what the box score says in terms of his impact on the game tonight, but
he was a plus three.
He was a plus three. Okay. Well, the eye test matches the numbers for once, and he had a really good game. As somebody who's been getting shit on a lot by fans like Kobe, both him and Kobe came out and, you know, did what they do best. And at least for Gafford, he did a little extra than what he's used to doing with jump shots.
And to point out what you were talking about with Kobe and winning us this game, at one point, Kobe was a minus 22 in the box score tonight. He ends minus two, and that's after his offensive explosion that he just kind of had throughout the game itself, and then opportune times getting the offense going again. Kobe's final stat line, though, we should look at that. He finishes with 30 points, two boards, and everybody was saying that he is most effective when somebody is creating for him, right? I mean, and that's probably a little bit true. He probably, like we've said in the last couple episodes, seems like he's having trouble getting himself in to the sets he needs to be into to get his teammates involved in the right way, because it seems like he hesitates. It's like an inner battle, whether he goes for the layup or whether he takes a midi, creates for himself or creates for others. But tonight in the free-flowing offense that we kind of saw, because, I mean, again, once again, look, a lot of people had a lot of assists. I mean, Garrett Temple had 7 assists. Sato had 8 assists. Zach had 4 assists. Thaddeus Young had 4 assists. Kobe White finished with 7 assists. When he is in the flow of the game, he can do that. He can play make a bit. I'm not saying that that wasn't situational shit or the defense just trying to collapse on him and those could have been easy, you know, easy passes to make, because he was getting collapsed on a little bit. They were trying to chase him off the line, which is going to open up another shooter. I mean, it's going to happen that way. But he was opportune tonight.
I feel like most Bulls fans are struggling with the concept that both Kobe White and Lonzo Ball can be good fits with Zach LaVine, maybe even at the same time on the floor.
I personally think that Lonzo would be just defensive purposes wise. That's just my opinion. I think that Lonzo would be a better fit with Zach on the court.
And I agree with that general logic. But it is also possible that both of them are good fits. To have the offensive scoring power of Kobe to put next to Zach, and to have the defensive versatility and playmaking ability of Lonzo to put there. It doesn't have to be either or for this team. And I think that's what's encouraging for me. Even if the Bulls decide not to trade for Lonzo, they can just go, fuck it. We're going to offer this kid a max contract. Hopefully whoever's holding him doesn't take that, you know, and match it. And then you get him for free if they don't trade for him. That's probably a little wishful. Most teams probably would match before letting him walk for free, especially if they gave up something for him. But I think both is a better option than one or the other.
Well, I honestly don't think it would come down to one or the other. I don't think, you know, even
Kobe's
with
going to give up on the kid at this point. You see what he right. can do in a game like this. You don't give up on that when he's 20 years old.
No, he finally got himself out of his slump. I mean, 10 of the field goals that he made tonight, 8 of them were 3-point shots. He went 10 for 20. So, I mean, it's 50%, you know. He went 50% from the field tonight.
Diversity, too. He had to battle the guy that's been rumored to be taking his spot for the last few weeks, and it's the game that he broke out. So it was good to see.
Yeah, it doesn't speak well to, and I don't want to say casual fans, but fans that are not that don't have the privilege to watch every game. Like, you know, like I said, League Pass, it's stupid down here, man. I got 3 games on TVs right now, just watching all sorts of. I've been watching a lot of Pelicans basketball, a lot of Hornets basketball, a lot of Lakers basketball, just because why not, you know. And Lonzo's good.
Years of LeBron. Love
right. Lonzo is good defensively. And tonight people will be like, no, you're an idiot. I mean, Zach just almost dropped 50 on him because Lonzo was primarily guarding Zach LaVine. But Stacy is, as much as I love Stacy, I mean, he's got a little homer in him, which is why I think we're on the same wavelength as him. But I mean, he even said, he's like, man, not a lot of people can guard Zach. He's a very pure scorer. He's going to get his buckets. He's going to get them. And it's going to happen whether you like it or not. You know, it's just
stopping Zach LaVine is a team effort for anybody.
Yeah. Especially right now. He's on an absolute fucking roll.
No, he's probably one of the best tough shot makers in the league. And sometimes you genuinely question if forcing him into a tougher shot was a bad, like a mistake, because he's just so good at it that it's, you'd almost rather him take a wide open shot and be like, all right, good. There.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, a couple more stats to go over. The Pelicans had 11 steals compared to the Bulls' 4. Bulls had 6 blocks to their 1. Bulls have 17 team turnovers tonight, leading to 21 points. Pelicans have 12 turnovers, leading to 15 points. Fast break points for the Bulls, 15, 7 for the Hornets. 50 points in the paint for the Pelicans. I said Hornets, my bad. 50 points in the paint for the Pelicans, 40 for the Bulls, 20 fouls for the Bulls, 12 fouls for the Pelicans. 18 was the largest lead for the Bulls, and Pelicans had an 8-point lead. That was the largest lead for them. So, I mean, you know, the stats are skewed, whatever. I mean, you know, 35 boards for each team. Like I said earlier in the podcast, it was a 36 team assist to 27. I really think that helped the Bulls win this game. Not to mention that, and they hit fucking, you know, 12 more 3-pointers than the Pelicans did. So,
in today's game, the team that hits the most threes tends to win the game. For the Bulls, unfortunately, they're a very streaky 3-point shooting team. We had the return of Bartholomew Temple tonight.
Oh my God.
Hey, he showed up again tonight, and that's all that matters. And when he shows up, I will call him Bartholomew because that is fucking awesome.
So did Denzel.
He did.
OMG, 16 points, 3 boards, 2 assists.
Tiger ball.
Yep, he had a good game, man. He did. He had a good game. I mean, like I said, it was probably the most fun Bulls game that we've had all year. You know, Pelicans coming off back-to-back, doesn't really matter. Bulls, you know, came out. They battled, killed it the first quarter, lost the lead in the second, come out in the third, start making it happen and never really look back.
How many points did the Pelicans end up with in the third? I know they didn't have 10 until like just over a minute left.
The Pelicans got killed in the third, just like the Bulls got killed in the second. So the Pelicans had 40 in the second compared to the Bulls 22. Bulls dropped 40 in the third compared to the Pelicans 14.
Okay, and that sounds about right.
Yeah, so I mean they didn't have a good time in the third quarter at all.
No, like I said, our boy Lonzo was kind of non-existent in the second half, which was funny because at halftime, I put out a tweet and I literally said, Lonzo, if you and Rich want your ass to get to Chicago, man, you're going to have to calm down. You proved your point. Like, chill. We don't want to trade the farm for you. We want to give some peanuts. We're going to pay you, but we only want to give up peanuts because we do have to pay you. So let's calm down. We can go back to sucking now. Acme got to see you live. Let's bring it back down to, you know, before this last 10-game stretch here and get a deal done.
You know what, dude? His backup had a pretty good game tonight.
Dear Lewis?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he's got to get out of town. That's the issue. They got him and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and paying Lonzo just doesn't make sense to roadblock those two guys in their development moving forward because Lewis is already showing up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he had a good game tonight, man. 14 points in 24 minutes, 4 assists, 2 boards, went 2 for 3 from downtown. He had a good game tonight. He had an explosive layup at the board or at the rim, I mean, that he converted on. I mean, he looks good. Oh, Jr. looks good.
He's quick. He kind of reminds me of, like, the middle road of, like, De'Aaron Fox and Kobe. He's not quite one or the other, but he's somewhere in the middle. He's got that same speed factor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Bulls pick up the dub in that one, Goose. We're going to move on to the next. That'll be Friday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, which is nice. We won't get a stupid-ass 8 o'clock start again. It'll be back to normal, 7 p.m. Central Time start at the United Center. The Bulls will be taking on the Clippers for the second time this year. People don't remember the first time. Bulls dropped that game by 3.
Hopefully we get another star rested in that game. Even things out a little bit, but if not, hopefully the Bulls are up to the task and, you know, at least keep it a competitive game. I think we said that those exact words going into the last game, and we got what we asked for. So as long as it's competitive against a real championship contender like that, I don't think we'll have anything to complain about.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's just, you know, the Clippers are 18-8. They're a tough matchup, man. They're just there's no other way to put it. The Clippers are a tough matchup, you know, for the Bulls, and especially with the Bulls being shorthanded again. And they're an elite. They have elite talent on their team as well. You know, they got Kawhi Leonard. They have Paul George. They have very.
Kawhi 2.0, man. And we got Denzel Valentine. He can stop Paul George. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He's got it. I mean, well, we stopped Zion and Ingram tonight. I really don't know how Garrett Temple and Denzel Valentine, like, took Ingram out of his game. Was he just that? Like,
I think he was tired, man.
Just that gassed?
I think he was gassed.
All right. I mean, that's the only genuine explanation for me, because
the Pelicans had a hell of a game against the Rockets. I mean, they beat the shit out of them, but they were all over the place last night, especially in the first half of that game. I actually ended up watching that whole game. Ingram only played he played less than 30 minutes, but I don't know, man. He had 22 last night. I know that, but maybe he was tired, man. Maybe I just can't see
Bartholomew.
Well, yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe Bartholomew is the one that stopped him. I don't know. Maybe GT returned to early season form, and he's just going to start shitting on people for a little bit. Yeah, GT, right?
Grand Theft Bart.
It's reversed. What? All right. You got anything else before we ride out in the sunset here, man?
No. I mean, let's not get our ass kicked too much by the Clippers. That's all I ask. Other than that, vote Zach LaVine for All-Star every fucking day. Like Kobe White said, if you're not doing that, you're not a true fan. And I hate to leverage that kind of thing on your head. But if you are on Twitter, I don't know if it counts on Facebook. I don't go on that platform. But if you are on Twitter, make sure you are giving Zach LaVine a vote every day. It takes 3 seconds. Let's get this kid in the game. He deserves it.
Well, for the people that are joining us on Facebook, we're live on Facebook too right now. I guess Goose doesn't use that platform. What a dick. You're a dick.
Hey, man, I don't want to talk to people that I went to high school with. It's that beat.
I feel you. I feel you. All right, everybody, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at Bulls on Tap. Follow my dude Goose at Bulls Scripted. Follow me at Buzz on Tap. We'll be back Friday night when the Bulls play the Los Angeles Clippers. Hopefully that's a dub. Let's go Bulls.